you for listening to this message from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries in Gunnison, Colorado. We hope you will visit us at rmcmchurch.org, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our messages on YouTube.
Open your Bibles over to Mark chapter 11 again. I think this is the last in this series. Every one of them stands alone. That's what I was starting to say earlier. If you're here for the first time or whatever, joining us online for the first time, it's okay. There's going to be good stuff in here for you. We have laid a tremendous amount of foundation, and all those teachings and services are available on our YouTube channel or as podcasts. So today, we've been looking at Mark chapter 11 and talking about living by faith and letting faith really take the wheel in our life. And we've covered a lot of things and a lot of foundation. I want to back up just a little today as we finish this up and begin in verse 20 again, just to remind us how all of this got started. You remember, this all started with a fig tree. This all started with Jesus going into from Bethany into Jerusalem on what we now call Palm Sunday. And then the next morning, that first day of the week, went to the temple, looked around, left. The next day, he came in. And here was this fig tree. And this fig tree, you guys that have been here, you know this, it was fully leafed out. And it wasn't the season for that, but here was this fig tree that was fully leafed out. And we learned that fig trees put their fruit out at the same time as the leaves, or sometimes even before the leaves or as the leaves are getting started. So when you see a fig tree fully leafed out, you can assume there is fruit on that fig tree. And that's why Jesus went to that tree and found no fruit. And then Jesus, and this starts this whole chapter, and which culminates in the lesson on faith that he is giving us that we're going to look at today. And so it starts with him talking to a tree, okay? He demonstrated faith by talking to a tree, okay? And so here in verse 20, it says, "In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered.'" All right, so we understand why they went and looked at that fig tree. And we also, one of the things we brought up was that Peter here says, "This is the fig tree that you cursed." Where it says that Jesus spoke to the fig tree, it actually uses, in the Greek, in the original language, it uses the word answered. He answered the fig tree. Okay, you only answer things that are saying something or projecting something. And this is really important. It's a little bit, it's just really important for us to understand this in the context of how we respond to things that go on around us and to natural things. This fig tree, essentially, it wasn't talking, okay, it wasn't saying anything. But by being full of leaves, it was putting out a message. By the fact that they came and found this tree, it was saying something. It was broadcasting the fact that it had fruit when it didn't. All right. And what's important about that is that as we look at what Jesus told us about speaking to mountains and seeing them removed, we have to understand that our circumstances, things around us, things that happen, situations that happen, things that happen in our own realm, things that happen, in the big wide world, those things, those circumstances, there's a relevance or a challenge maybe to the actual circumstance itself. But what's almost more important to that is what happens in that circumstance. Maybe you have symptoms of sickness that come, or maybe you lose a job, or maybe your car breaks down, or maybe your kid acts up, or whatever it is. Behind that circumstance, there is a message that is projected, or we should probably say it this way, the devil loves to take those opportunities to sow thoughts into your mind that contradict the word of God. You have a pain, you have an injury, you have a sickness in your body. The devil will try to use that circumstance to tell you that God's word about healing isn't true, that God isn't faithful to his word. You lose a job or you have another financial challenge or whatever. The thought often comes that, well, if God was faithful, God said he would meet all my needs. Is that true or is it not? The devil will do the same thing that he did in the Garden of Eden, and he will say, well, did God really say? Is that really what that promise means? Maybe you've misunderstood it. Maybe God doesn't mean that all the time. Maybe God's just messing with your life. Maybe God is trying to teach you something out of this negative circumstance. Maybe God has sent this thing into your life in order to challenge you or break you. Or there's all kinds of religious ideas out there, and they revolve around the fact that when we enter a circumstance, many times, if we're paying any attention at all, There's the challenge of the actual physical circumstance, but there's a message often that comes through it that we have. Remember last week we talked about how when we try to catch a fish, we present a fly to that fish. The fish doesn't have to take it. And we talked about how that's what the devil does with us. He will try to present a thought for us to believe that challenges the nature of God and his integrity, the truth of his word. Either God has pure integrity or he doesn't, okay? Either his word is true and what he has promised is true or it isn't, all right? And so oftentimes it works that way. And the other direction, let me just say this while I'm here, the other direction this works, I just heard an example of this a week or so ago, that somebody we know got a report from the doctor. Wasn't a terrible report by any means, but there were some issues about different aspects with her heart. And she's never had any heart problems at all. Very, very healthy, very athletic. But there were just a couple little things that came out of this doctor's report, and her testimony was, I started thinking about that and all of a sudden I was having chest pains. Well, she's never had a chest pain in her life. And many times that kind of thing will happen. It'll go one way or the other. You know, we've known people that woke up with a headache and immediately there's these thoughts about maybe I have brain cancer running through their mind. You know, have you ever had anything like that? I have. And, you know, and so sometimes there is a physical thing first, and then thoughts start to run, and we need to reject those thoughts. Those are just because you have a thought doesn't mean it's your thought, and it certainly doesn't mean it was a God thought that came from God. So in this situation, I think this is much of the reason that Jesus used this situation. Is we've got to realize that the fact that the scripture says he answered the fig tree means that fig tree, having leaves but no fruit, which was an unusual situation, was broadcasting a message. Hey, come in here and eat. And there was nothing to eat. We also know, and I don't want to go back through all that, we studied it out, but this whole thing was a prophetic picture of what Jesus was about to do in challenging and overturning the religious system in Jerusalem, which at that time was broadcasting that, hey, here's life. Come and join religion. Here's life. And Jesus was about to come into town and turn that whole thing around and provide life through his death, burial, and resurrection. Okay? So that's the background to all of this. Did this mic just go out? Yeah. I wonder why. Is it, huh? Okay, it's going. Okay, got to be sure everybody out there can hear us. All right, so let's go down and let's go through these verses today and wrap this thing up. Beginning in verse 22, Jesus again speaking. Peter says, hey, this tree that you cursed yesterday is withered from the roots. And here's Jesus' answer. He says, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Okay, now we've talked through a bunch of the phrases already in there. I want to focus in on this idea of speaking to situations, that one of the things faith produces is when we are in faith toward God about something, it begins to come up out of our hearts. What our hearts are full of, this is what Jesus taught. Whatever is in abundance in your heart will come out your mouth, for good or for bad. And that is seed that we are sowing. There is authority in what we have faith in, for good or for bad. If we have faith in the negative, we're going to start talking it. We can say all day long that we're believing God about this, but then when we're under a little pressure or we're, you know, maybe just with some friend, we start talking the opposite. That's an indicator. What comes out of our mouths, especially under pressure, is always an indicator of what we have in abundance in our hearts. And Jesus taught that in Matthew chapter 12, just clear as day, okay? So this scripture where he says, whatever you ask in prayer, all right, that word ask can also be translated require or demand. Whatever you require in prayer, whatever you demand in prayer. Now that makes people really uncomfortable. Lots of people really uncomfortable because they don't understand what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is teaching about a type of prayer. The Bible teaches us a lot of different kinds of prayer that are appropriate for different situations. We've done whole studies on that. This is a type of prayer that we usually call declarative prayer. It is speaking the will of God into or over a situation. It is something that we as the church are called to do. And Jesus taught his disciples to do this. This is a prayer of declaration. This is a type of prayer where we're requiring or demanding something. Now, the response that a lot of people have to that freaks us out because we immediately think, oh, we're demanding that God do something, and we're not. That's not the point of this. We're demanding or requiring that God do something that he doesn't want to do, that isn't according to his will. That's not what this is saying. We're demanding or requiring that God do something that a lot of times that actually he's already done through Jesus. And it's this sense on the inside that, oh, this is presumptuous. I don't like this. And I'm just asking you, if that comes up in your heart, listen to what the scripture is saying. This is a form of prayer that Jesus himself taught and used. And as far as the speaking part of it, we speak to things all the time. We speak to our cars. We speak to the door. We speak to, you know, we talk to things all the time. So if when you come to the Bible, all of a sudden you go, well, you know, it says, if anyone says to this mountain and believes, doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, then it will be done for. Okay? So we just need to read this and accept we're just reading the Bible. Okay? And we can see countless examples in Scripture where Jesus spoke to things. He just spoke to a fig tree. He talked to a tree, okay, and got results. All right? So if Jesus did that and then used it as one of his biggest lessons on faith, then if we've got an issue with it, we got to go to him and say, okay, Lord, straighten this out in me because I want to do what I see you doing. And I want to say what I hear you saying, and that really is one of the keys. So what we are requiring or demanding in this type of prayer, when we're declaring the word of God over a situation that is contrary to his will, to his known will, and we'll talk about that in a couple minutes, you can know what God's will is in about 99% of the situations that you face on earth. There are a couple of things. When somebody else's will is involved, we often still know God's will, but God's will can be held up in a situation where somebody else is resistant to his will. When we're interceding over somebody else's life, we're wanting to see them get free from addiction. We're wanting to see them, we want them to see their marriage work. We want to see whatever it might be. Okay, and when somebody else's will, not just God and you agreeing together, then we have to pray a little differently. We are not here to manipulate anybody's will. We don't get to do that. God doesn't even do that. God doesn't manipulate our will. He gives us free will. But we can intercede for that person, pray for their heart to change, pray for the other laborers to go across their path. There's all kinds of things we can pray in those situations. But what I'm talking to you about today is a situation where you know for one reason or another that this circumstance, this thing that's happening on the earth does not line up with God's best for those people or that community or whatever it might be. It is contradictory to a promise from God. Okay, that's when prayer of declaration comes in. So what we are demanding or requiring are two things. Number one, that if there is a demonic origin to the situation or a demonic spirit behind it, we are rebuking and silencing that spirit. All right. Secondly, we are speaking to the natural situation and calling it to line up with God's will. Does that make sense to you? So it's not demanding of God, because this is where so many, you know, religion has gotten hold of this thing and just wants us to always have this real passive Christianity, you know, where we're never sure what God's doing and we're never sure what he wants and we're just really sweet and quiet and we you know, to the thought of demanding something in prayer can be really contrary to the way that people have been raised. Jesus, remember this, Jesus taught us what we call the Lord's Prayer, which is really the disciples' prayer. It's how he taught the disciples to pray. It goes through declaration after declaration after declaration. It begins with worship. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then, especially if you read it in the original language, it's declaration. Your kingdom come. Not demanding God. I'm releasing on earth what God's will already is. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And again, if you read that in the original language, those are two declarations that agree with what God is doing and has done in Jesus Christ. Does this make sense to you? Okay. All right. So this word prayer here, where Jesus said, whatever you ask for in prayer, whatever you require in prayer, believe that you have received it. I can't believe I even have to say this, but I do. That word prayer specifically means prayer to God. Prayer to the living God, prayer to the God of heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, okay? It doesn't mean prayer to the universe, right? It doesn't mean prayer to nature. It doesn't mean prayer to Christians that have died, saints that have died. It doesn't mean prayer to your dead grandma, who was a wonderful person, no doubt. It doesn't mean any of those types of things that people turn prayer into. And again, I can't even, you know, we live in a culture here where there's a ton of paganism. There are a lot of people that are following pagan rituals. Vinatuk is a totally pagan ritual. It's what it is. And if you're a Christian and you're giving yourself to that stuff, you are opening yourself up to demonic influence. I'm trying to be nice. You need to get a clue. I mean, really, that stuff It's paganism. It's not a joke. It's not, oh, just this fun thing that we do in Crested Butte, you know. It's not that. I mean, people, a lot of people think it's that, but there are, the devil will take advantage. He's not a creator. He's not on God's level. He can't create things, but he will take every opportunity to spread influence and to keep people away from Jesus. So we have lots of, and I say this in the context of, we want to reach these folks, okay? God loves every one of them and has a great plan for their life. They're not our enemies, okay? Our battle is not with flesh and blood. But we need to recognize that all those things are wrong. You don't need to pray to some great saint that lived however long ago. You are a child of God. You have the Spirit of God inside of you. You have just as much influence as they do. I think some of these folks are going to be embarrassed. I mean, I think the Apostle Paul, some of the things I think is like, you know, Jesus, I didn't, what I wrote did not mean what they're saying it meant. You know, I mean, I think some of these people are going to be like, I can't believe they're praying to me, you know, when they've got you. Anyway, that's just my thought. So this means prayer to God. All right. So let me just give you a couple things real quick. The Bible teaches us a whole bunch of forms of prayer that are appropriate for different situations. And again, we've done studies on that. But all of them are prayed in faith through the name of Jesus to the Father. Okay, so whether it's intercession, whether it's declaration, whether it's a prayer of consecration, whatever kind of, whether it's asking prayer, where we're asking the Lord for something, whatever it might be, okay, all those are prayed in the name of Jesus, in his influence, in his authority, in faith toward the Father. Okay, so all that's good. Let me just give you a couple. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 5, links prayer with prophecy. And this is pretty important because declarative prayer, what we're wanting to do is declare into that situation what God has already said and what he is saying now, which is, that's what prophecy is. It is saying what God is saying. That's what prophecy is. It's not fortune telling. It's not all of that. It's saying what is immediately coming from the Spirit of God. Okay? And so 1 Corinthians 11 chapter 5 links prayer with prophecy. So some prayer is prophetic in nature. It is speaking out what God is saying. And that's what we want to do in this kind of situation. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14, verses 14 and 15, and Jude 20 talk about praying in the Spirit or praying in other tongues. And there are a number of things with that. We don't have time to teach on it today. But when we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we use that prayer language, I'm not talking about giving a message in tongues. That's a legitimate thing, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Romans chapter 8, praying in the Spirit. Then we're praying what the Spirit of God has on his heart right now. He's praying essentially through us. So there are lots of kinds of prayer, and all of them are important. But in Mark chapter 4, Jesus specifically links, get this, okay? If we're going to speak to the mountain and declare what God has said, then we have to know what God has said. We have to first know that this is what God's heart is toward this situation. That means we have to have devotional prayer before we have declarative prayer. We've got to hear before we speak. Remember, we talked out of Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, faith comes by hearing. So that means I've got to hear. If I'm going to say something in faith toward the mountain, okay, I have to have already heard so that faith is built in my heart. And then I move in James talks about the prayer of faith, of a prayer that is birthed out of faith. Is this making sense to you? Okay. So what Jesus is talking about here is having confidence that we are releasing into or over a situation God's heart, God's will, what he has said, what he is saying, that kind of thing. Okay? Let's see, I do have this on the screen. 1 John chapter 5. I just want you to really get that this is okay. Not only okay, but Jesus taught it, okay? 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is from the Amplified Bible. Look, listen to this. This is the remarkable degree of confidence which we as believers are entitled to have before him. We are entitled as believers to have a remarkable degree of confidence before God. There's, and I don't say this to be critical, I just want to wake people up there. There's a lot of the church that is very resistant to this kind of thing, even though it's written in their Bibles. They feel like this is presumptuous. They don't want to presume on God. Well, don't presume on God. Find out what he's saying. Find out what he has said. What has he said? What is his will for your children? What is his will for your health? What is his will for your finances? What is his will for our community? What is his will for everyone to be saved and come to a knowledge of Christ? We need to be confident. We are entitled to a remarkable degree of confidence when we are before him, and that if we ask anything according to his will. So there it is. Of course we want to pray according to his will. Of course we can't just go demanding things that are not his will. We've had people want us to agree with them for somebody else that they wanted to marry to get divorced and have a problem in their marriage so that they could marry that person. Well, no. I'm just not praying. I don't feel any obligation to pray that with you. In fact, I will try to straighten you out and I'll never see you in the church again because you'll leave. But I mean, people come up with crazy stuff that is not in the will of God. And that's the issue is, well, I feel like if I'm demanding, if I'm requiring, then what if it's not God's will? Well, find out what God's will is. In 99% of the stuff that we deal with, we can know. I'll tell you in just a minute how we do that. You all know how we do that. But if we ask anything according to his will, anything that is consistent with his plan and purpose, he hears us. And if we know for a fact, as indeed we do, that he hears and listens to us, whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted to us the requests which we have asked from him. So we can have confidence in prayer. When Jesus says, say to this mountain, don't doubt in your heart. Believe, don't doubt in your heart, but say to this mountain. Remember that mountain represents to us, can be a physical mountain, but what it represents is just an impossible situation that's in our path, something that we can't overcome. And he says, if you will build faith into your heart and then say to this mountain, it'll be picked up and thrown into the sea. Okay? Confidence. We can have confidence in prayer. So let me give you, I'll just give you sacred cow warning here. Okay, we're going to kick a sacred cow. So Jesus never prayed, if it be thy will. Jesus never prayed, if it be thy will. In the Garden of Gethsemane, praying a prayer of consecration to the will of God, a specific kind of prayer. He was praying, we can see there, which is a beautiful thing, the struggle with his own humanity, okay? He said, Father, if there's any other way to get this done, let's do it that way. But if not, your will be done, not mine. But when he was casting out demons, when he was healing the sick, when he was praying over it, when he was speaking to the wind and the waves, when he was doing it, he never said, if it be thy will. He never taught his disciples to finish every single prayer with if it be thy will. Instead, he taught his disciples to have the kind of relationship with God where they can be hearing from the Spirit of God on the inside and know the written word and have these things to you know, to look at, to know this is what he has done. There are things that he specifically took in the atonement. It isn't his will for anybody to be stuck in sin. It isn't his will for, I don't believe it's his will for anybody to be stuck in sickness and disease. And yet we know we live in the earth. It's not heaven. We know, but that's a battle we need to fight. It's not his will. He went to the cross and died. And the Bible tells us he paid for those specific things on the cross. If Jesus paid for it on the cross, we don't have to wonder if it's God's will. Okay, if God has promised it in covenant to us, we don't have to wonder if it's God's will. We can have a huge degree of confidence when we pray over those things. Does that make sense to you? Okay, so we're not being presumptuous. We're not presuming on God. We're not trying to twist his arm. We're not trying to do that. We are agreeing with him. We are flowing with him. We are flowing with what he did through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Through declarative prayer, okay? So from that passage about the Garden of Gethsemane, there's this religious tradition that has gotten started, and I know people are just trying to be, they're trying to express humility before God. They're trying not to presume. I get it. I understand where that comes from. But Jesus didn't teach us to start or finish every single prayer with, "If it be thy will." He actually taught very declarative prayer. Does this make sense to you? Okay. All right. So how can I be sure? All right. How can I be sure that I'm praying the will of God? We look at his nature, who he is. It's reflected in Christ. He is the exact image of the Father. If we don't see it in Jesus, it doesn't belong to the Father's nature. We look at his written word. We look at the scripture. We look at the promises. Those are a reflection of God's will. We look at the covenants, old covenant and new covenant, that he established. And we can see what his desire and will is for people in those situations. We have the Holy Spirit listening on living on the inside of us. Again, we have his promises. We can look at the atonement and what that was about, and we can see these things are God's will. When we can see that it's his will, we can be confident in praying that over ourselves, our own lives, our families, other people, our communities. And I think this is why we're here. I mean, it's one of the reasons we're here, is we are to represent him in the earth. And that doesn't mean, I mean, it does mean telling people about him. It does mean growing in him and living more according to his life and his word and having the fruit of the Spirit. It does mean all of that. But it also means we are here toward the demonic world in particular, all right, to enforce, to declare what Jesus did at that cross and what God's will is on the earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done. You just got to keep in mind that people are never your enemy. They're being used. People that you would think are your enemy and you or I get angry with, they're being used. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. It is with those principalities and powers and forces behind all of that. Okay? So, let's just jump ahead because I need to get through this. All right, so we go back to Mark chapter 11, verse 22. You still with me?
Yep.
Okay, so he says, if anyone says to this mountain, and this is coming off the fig tree deal, right, where Jesus spoke to it. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. I'm not saying that you always have to pray out loud, but I think it's a really good idea. I think prayer that changes things, declarative prayer, needs to be spoken. Why? I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I just see that God spoke everything into existence. I see that you guys, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it for death or for life. Okay? Jesus over in Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 33, said, make a tree good, its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad, its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers. That's Jesus being sweet to people there. You brood of vipers. How can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. So again, what we store up in our hearts, if we are going to speak to mountains and see them move, prayer that changes things, we've got to understand that words matter. We've got to understand that what we are feeding on the most is what's going to be in our hearts. If we want to have faith in God driving our lives, we've got to feed on the Lord. We've got to feed on His Word. We have got to choose what we listen to and what we look at and the things that we allow or that we treasure up in our hearts. And here's what I've seen so many times that I don't want for any of you. I've seen people, they'll come for prayer and we'll pray. I'm always happy to pray. But and they'll say, well, I'm just believing God. I'm just believing God over this. And 2 minutes later, they're talking with somebody and just talking the problem. Well, this just isn't going to go away. It's been this way forever. I don't see how this is going to change. And so I know I'm not being critical. I just know that what's really treasured in their heart is doubt and unbelief, and they're defeating their own prayers. So our declaration and our prayer is important, but God's not mocked. We can't come before God and say, Lord, I believe your word. I'm declaring it over this, and then turn right around and talk to your husband or your wife or your kids or your friends or your coworkers about how horrible everything is. We can't bless our community and pray for God's best for this valley and then turn around and talk constantly about how, you know, it's just impossible to live here. It's just impossible to get a house. It's just impossible to do this. Just, you know, it's a terrible place to live. Oh, the government is so messed up. Guilty, okay? Guilty, but I'm do as I say, not as I do. No, I'm trying. But I mean, you get what I'm saying? We can undo our prayers. So when that happens, look at your heart and say, God, I'm sorry. Give me your picture. Lord, I need a different picture in my heart of this group of people or this situation or what's going on here. And just talking about this valley, if God has you here, if you're planted here, then you're here to influence for God's kingdom here. And that needs to be coming out of our mouths. And if it's not, then let's repent. If it's not, I mean, that really is the answer. If what's coming out of our mouth continuously is not what God would have coming out of our mouths, then we need to own that and repent. Ask forgiveness and turn and fill our hearts with something else. We talked about it last week. You've got to look at what you feed on. I got to give you one more verse of scripture, and then we can quit today. Okay? You still with me?
Yeah.
All right. I don't have it on your screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. It says, yet we have the same spirit of faith as he had who wrote, quote, I have believed and therefore have I spoken. We too believe and therefore we speak. Let me say that again. Paul's writing this. Yet we have the same spirit of faith as he who wrote, I have believed and therefore I have spoken. We too believe, and therefore we speak. That is a quote from Psalm 116, verse 11. And let me read that verse to you, Psalm 116, 11. I'm going to read it to you from the Passion Translation. It says, even that whole psalm is, you know, those where somebody is crying out, or this portion to God about everything that's going around. So see if you can relate to this. Psalm 116, verse 11, Passion Translation. Even when it seems I'm surrounded by many liars. Anybody relate to that today? Even when it seems I'm surrounded by many liars and my own fears, surrounded by my own fears. Okay? Can relate. and though I am hurting in my suffering and trauma, we can relate, I still stay faithful to God and speak words of faith. Okay? The spirit of faith in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of liars, in the midst of hurts, speaks what God has said. Feeds on what God has said, speaks what God has faith. The scripture says that's the spirit of faith. Okay? That's the spirit we want to have toward faith. All right? Just give you these examples. We're done. Mark 4:39, you all know it. Jesus rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. You know the story. Where they were out in the boat and the storm came up. It says he rebuked the wind. That's the invisible force behind the waves. He rebuked the wind. That word means to admonish strongly with urgency and authority, or to give a strict command. So Jesus admonished the invisible force with urgency and authority. He gave a strict command to the invisible force behind what was slamming against their boat. And then he said to the waves, which just means to say. He commanded, he told the waves to be still. Jesus spoke to the invisible part first and then to the visible part. Not every problem we face is caused by a demonic influence. Okay? Sometimes we go overboard with that. But sometimes it is. Or sometimes there's a demonic influence that has begun to take advantage of something we're facing. We are to command. We are to rebuke. We are to take authority over what the devil wants to do and then speak into the natural situation. Just begin to speak the word of God. Just begin to say what God has said. Get the promises of God up. Start going through the promises of God. Get them in your heart. Just begin to speak those over these different situations. Okay? A couple more examples. No more. Jesus, Peter, and Paul all spoke words when they were healing the sick, casting out demons, that kind of thing. They spoke words. The woman with the issue of blood first spoke her faith, then got hold of the hem of his garment. So there's a thing here about the spirit of faith, believing and speaking. Okay? We're just reading the Bible. Well, I think a lot of people have abused that. No doubt. Humans abuse everything. We abuse. We turn the scripture inside out sometimes. Doesn't mean God changes his mind. Let's just do it right. Let's just do it right. Okay? So just two questions you can go home with. Am I defeating my own prayers with my conversations? As my typical conversation, doesn't mean, you know, we all gripe sometimes, but I'm just saying, is my typical conversation in line with the promise of God? When I speak about this town, is it in line with what God wants for this town? It's just an example, okay? And then think about what area of my life, what area of people around me, do I need to begin to speak the word of God and declare the word of God over? Who do I need to be speaking blessing over instead of cursing? Speaking blessing over instead of complaining, okay? And we can build ourselves in that. We can build ourselves in that. And if you ask that kind of question to the Lord, he's real gracious. He doesn't get mad at us, which I'm very thankful for. He's very gracious with us about teaching us and training us. All right, did you get anything out of this today? Let's stand up and pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, I this morning, I just want to thank you for your faithfulness, for your consistency, for your absolute dedication to your word and to what you have done through Jesus. And Lord, we recognize that all around us, in our lives, in this culture, all around us in the world, Lord, there are people that if they don't come to know you, they are going to die and miss you and miss an eternity with you. And we know that breaks your heart, that you care so much about that, that you sent your son to die on that cross for every human being on this earth that would accept it. And so, Father, we know that we are the Church of Jesus Christ, that we are here to represent you, that we are not just here to get to heaven. We are here to represent you during this time. And, Father, we are asking this morning, I'm asking this morning, Lord, that you just continue to impress upon our hearts where we need to grow in our own faith, where we need to set aside the traditions of men, where we need to set aside our own comfort sometimes in order, Lord, to stand for you. And Lord, help us to, in every situation, be coming from a motivation of loving people and helping people, not criticizing people, not putting people down. And Father, I just thank you for that. I thank you for everything we've talked about over the last however many weeks this has been, Lord, in this series. And I pray, Father, we would be, this church would be a people of faith. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You ready to go out there and be the church? All right, let's say it on the count of three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. We'll be dismissed. One, two, three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. Amen.
You are listening to a podcast from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit us at rmcmchurch.org.